This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The deal's getting done.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. I don't know if I've ever seen Congress move this fast on anything. But the word out this morning is that Republicans and Democrats are close to a bailout agreement. Democratic leaders plan to bring it to this emergency summit at the White House later on. Our Washington correspondent Steve Henn joins us as Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis. Steve, I know you've been digging around. What's in this compromise?
Well, right now, the Democrats have gotten a lot of things into the deal, at least at this point, that they wanted. You know, there are limits on executive compensation. Mm-hmm. There's a provision that will allow the government to end up owning a stake of the companies it helps out, potentially, mm-hmm. which was something that was really important to them. And there are efforts to help keep homeowners in their homes. They're not doing everything they wanted to do, but many things they wanted to do to give the Treasury Secretary the power and really sort of push him toward renegotiating the terms of problem loans. There's language in there that they hope and they believe will do that.
Okay. What was taken out?
Well, one of the things that was taken out, I don't know if you remember this from the original deal, but there was language in the original proposal that basically said the Treasury Secretary's decisions around the bailout couldn't be reviewed by anyone ever, period.
Right.
That's out. The other thing that some more liberal Democrats had been pushing really hard for were some bankruptcy reform proposals. And it looks like this morning that's out as well.
Okay. So this consensus is heading to the White House for review at this emergency summit. Then what happens?
Well, there's a meeting this morning on the Hill between lead Republicans and lead Democrats. If those folks emerge from the meeting with something solid in hand, and right now it looks like the chances are pretty good, we could be looking at a vote in the House or the Senate as early as tomorrow and Saturday and wrapping this up before the weekend's out, at least.
Before the markets open on Monday.
That's right.
All right, Steve Henn in Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.
So far, the Dow is up 153 points to 10,979. That's about 1.5%. The Nasdaq has gained 29, and the S&P 500 is up 16. European shares are up about 1%. In Asia, the market's closed 1% lower. I wish I could tell you exactly what would happen if the government didn't bail out the banks. Paulson and Bernanke and the president have made some very dire predictions of recession, more foreclosures, businesses collapsing. We're joined now by Republican Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas. Senator, last chance here. Are you sure we have to do this?
Well, I think we've got to do something. We've seen the credit markets freeze up like we have not witnessed. And unfortunately anymore, money moves with the click of a mouse. And so if confidence moves, people pull money out at such a rapid pace, and then people won't lend bank to bank to the point that businesses can't do their business. So it looks to me that we have to do something to unfreeze these credit markets.
But why do we have to do this? Why do we have to buy up these bad mortgage debts? Why can't we do something else, like pay off the defaulted loans?
Well, we've tried treating the symptoms of this. Really, since Bear Stearns in March, we've been trying to treat symptoms. This goes at the actual cancer itself. And the cancer is this toxic paper. These subprime mortgages that nobody's exactly sure who all has what, and they're not exactly sure what it's worth. And the thought is that if we can get at the actual cancer itself, the liquidity will free up, the system will rectify itself, and it can move forward. Problem of it is in economics, you're dependent on millions of people's individual decisions. You're not exactly sure how anybody responds to it, but this does seem to be the most likely medicine to work.
What are you hearing from your constituents about this?
Oh, they are mad. They are hopping mad about this. They don't like it. But then, again, they're starting to feel what happens when our credit system locks up, and they're getting a bit fearful of that.
All right, Republican Senator Sam Brownback from Kansas, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org.
What do you know? People are already writing books about the financial collapse. One publisher, Penguin, got a little lucky with this timing. It just released a book on spectacular corporate collapses called Billion Dollar Lessons. But it looks like that will be the first of many books to come. Rico Galliano has more.
Seth Ditchick is senior editor at Princeton University Press. He fields book proposals from business authors. Since the economy imploded, he says proposals have doubled.
There's going to be, as far as I can tell, an avalanche of these sorts of books over the next 18 months or so.
That's not unusual in the wake of a big business news story, but Adrian Zackheim, president of Penguin's portfolio imprint, says this is the biggest business news story in years.
The only one that I can think of that's comparable over the last decade or so was the Enron crisis.
So as publishers sift through the piles of pitches, what are they looking for? Princeton University Press's Seth Ditchick says he's focusing on historic analysis of similar meltdowns.
Any book that we undertake now won't be out until next year, unless Alan Greenspan calls me up and says, I want to do a book with you. So I think the historical approach will have much more of a life.
Hopefully a longer life than the crisis itself. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
It's hard to comprehend $700 billion, so I thought maybe we'd consider what else we could buy with that money. $700 billion would pay for about 600 gallons of gas for everybody in America. Or we could build high-speed train routes from coast to coast. We could buy about 300 Hubble space telescopes, or take a trip to the International Space Station 35,000 times. We could send 30 million kids to college for free at public universities, or get a laptop for every child in the world. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.